Okay. There are two lives that you can live today. One is in the old nature, the other one is in the new nature. And it's all by choice. You see, God chose us to be in Christ from the very beginning. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 10, we find an example of that. How that God had chose us in Him before the foundation of creation. Starting at verse 1, Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasures of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasures, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. There are those today who believe that when it comes to predestination and selection, there is only a few that will be chosen. No matter what you do, you can't be saved. That's what some people teach. But that is not the gospel at all. God chose us in Christ. That is, he chose the human race, everybody. So there are those who teach that it is only a selected few that has been chosen. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 tells us something totally different. Paul told the Romans that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, first unto the Jew and also unto the Gentile. So what does that mean? That means that the whole world should be Christians. The whole world should be Christians. Is that all right? You see, because in verse 4, which is the key verse, it tells us that God had chosen all of us, had chosen us in him. That means every human being. God has enough space for all of us to come in. Chosen in Christ. Since the very beginning of Christianity, it has been met with opposition. Those who oppose that which has been established by the Father, whom he sent his Son to proclaim to humanity. And we see that in Acts chapter 9 and verse 1 and 2 concerning Saul. Because Saul wanted to stay under the Old Testament, under the Old Law, under the Old Covenant. But God said, we're moving on. And if you want to stay back there, you'll perish back there. But Paul had the idea that this is not of God. In verse 9, starting with verse 1, then Saul, still breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether man or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Christianity is also called the way. Look, if I find anyone, I don't care if it's a woman, whoever it is, I'm going to get them, because they are going against God. And we come to find out that it was Saul all the time going against Jesus. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, we see that the Christians was a name that was selected by God. It is a name that is better than sons and daughters. So when we look at that, we see that Barnabas was searching for and seeking for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch, so that it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Nothing before, nothing after, just Christians. And this is what we're talking about today. A crucified life is what a Christian life is. It is the highest standard of living for us today. Remember, you can also live in the old nature. See, God has two creations. He has the old creation and he has the new creation. And so, when we read Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, we understand that Paul says, I am crucified. I have been crucified. In that verse, the letter I is used four times. And each time it's used, it means something. So when he says, I am crucified, this explains how it is that through law we have died to the law. Okay? Through law, we have died to law. When Christ was crucified, according to God's economy, we were included in him. This is an accomplished fact. It's a fact that when Christ died, we died with Christ. So, that first I is no longer I. Okay? This does not indicate, when Paul says, I have been crucified, this does not indicate that an exchanged life has taken place. Paul moves out and then another life comes in. See, according to science, two objects can't take up the same space. But with God, all things are possible. We can do that. That's what God says. We can take up two objects can take up the same space when we're dealing with God, right? A life which is in Christ comes in and we go out. That's not the case. That's not the case. For later in the verse, Paul said, I live. You see? So Paul says, I live. How does he live? He lived as a regenerated individual. So, we as Christians, we live as regenerated people. We have both the old I, which has been crucified, when we look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Let us look at Romans 6 and 6. But better yet, I'm going to start at verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into his death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in what? Newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. And this is what Paul is talking about. Jesus also told us, you know, don't love self, right? Deny self. And this is the Christian life. We are to deny ourselves, right? So Paul tells the Romans about being crucified. Again, Paul says, concerning which Paul said, no longer I, and a new I, concerning which Paul said, I live. That's the new I live. Right? So, the old terminated was without the divine life of God. You see, when we were in the world, living in the world, we were without God. The world today and the billions of people who want to set up standards and worship God the way that they want to worship him are without the divine life. The new I was God as life added to it. So when we get baptized there, God's divine life is added to our life. That's why Paul explains the new I, the life I now live. How do I live it? I live it by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, right? So, the new I came into being when the old I was what? Crucified. The new I began when the old I was terminated. A lot of times we like to resurrect that old guy, don't we? But we got to keep him down. So, on the one hand, Paul had been terminated, but on the other hand, a resurrected Paul, who was regenerated with God as his life. That's the way we should live. We should live our lives as resurrected people. We are the resurrected ones. We should walk in a life that represents resurrection. Learning about the gospel of Christ produces change in our lives. If you are not changing from the gospel, you are not learning. Of course, we're going to make mistakes along the way. If I take a seed and I plant that seed in the ground, but I got to make sure the ground is fertile and everything is good, and I water that, God is going to give it the increase. But if I neglect it, it may not live. You see? So we can't neglect the gift that God has given us. Okay? So, it is Christ, he says, who lives in me. For it was Christ who lived, but it was in Paul that he lived. Does Christ live in you today? Can anyone see a reflection of Christ in your life? If I went and done a survey at one of your jobs and just said, you know, I know this individual by the name of such and such. I got some questions I want to ask about you, you know, if you could be honest with me. He says, oh, yeah, she's an upright
upright young woman. She's always reading her Bible. Yeah, she talks to people about God. That's what we want to hear. We don't want to hear, nah, she's just like us. Nah, he just like us. We don't want to hear that. It's going to have to be some change in your life. And that change starts from home. People should be able to, people in your own household should be able to see that you have changed. You see? So, when we talk about Christ, we have died in Christ through his death, but now he lives in us through his resurrection. His living in us is entirely by his being the life-giving spirit. That is the only way that Christ can live in us today. He could not live in the apostles and his disciples when he walked on the earth in the flesh. He could not do that. He could not be here in one spot and then appear over here in another spot while he was in the flesh. That's why when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45, 1 Corinthians 15 and 45 tells us, and it was written, the first man Adam became a living being, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. So that is what we have. We have the life-giving spirit is what Christ is today. This point is fully developed in all the following chapters when you read the Bible. If you study the Bible, you're going to understand where the Spirit is presented and emphasized as the very one whom we have received as life and whom we should live. The Spirit is the life. Jesus said in St. John chapter 6 and verse 63 concerning his disciples, he told them, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, that revives. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The Bible that we have today is word and life and spirit. Can't be separated. All one. And that's what we have. The first eye is the natural man. We got to understand that. We got to understand that that is the natural person that inclines to keep the law that he might be perfected. That's why Paul had a problem with getting away from the law, because he wanted to be perfected by that law. But you can't be perfected by the law. We find an example of that in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 6. We see that Paul, in glorifying his position as a Jew, he tells them, get over here. He says, first of all, let's go to verse 3. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also may have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. Here's the point. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church of God. Concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. So there are those who think that they can be perfected by the law. Not so. Not so. But God wants us to live Christ. that God may be expressed in us through him. We must live Christ so that God may be expressed through us. You see, God did not have no expression when he created the angels. Watch what I'm saying. God did not have no expression when he created the bodies, the heavenly bodies, the stars, the orbs, and all of that. God did not get his expression in the creation of animals and in the earth. When did he get his expression? He got his expression when he created man. That's why man is created in the image of God, to express God. Love, hate, right? Preference. All of those things. Judgment. Those qualities. No other animal show that. When God created man, I'm sure he told the angels, I'm about to do something that you don't even have a clue. And when he did it, it was like, oh, now we see. So he gets man, and I'm sure that when he created all the animals, he asked one of the angels, hey, what is that right there? I don't know. I'm going to show you intelligence. Man, what is that? Oh, that's a butterfly. You see, man with the intelligence. That's the Lord. That's what he does. We are the expression of God. Now God has an expression, but he has to recapture that which was lost, and we still must go out and preach the gospel to people so that they may express God and not self and sin. That's what we talk about in our Wednesday night Bible study. People expressing self and sin and not the life of God. We see this expression in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20 and 21. Paul says, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ must be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The first I must die. That's what Paul is talking about. To die to self is gain. That's what we need to understand. So, and then we must be eventually to conduct all that we do with Christ. We see in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 24, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we must be looking forward to. You cannot have that opportunity outside of Christ. You cannot express the Christian life apart from being baptized into Christ. You just can't do it, right? So all of this stems from receiving him as life and live him to be God's expression, because Christ has come. The function of the law has been terminated, and Christ must replace the law in our lives for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. This is what Paul is explaining to the Gentiles. See, but in our case, it's the world. See, we got to get away from the world that we may be able to express God. See, we were lost in within ourselves. So we have to get back to the Lord. So he sent his son. The title Christ mainly says, I have a mission, which is to carry out God's plan. That's what Christ is. Christ is God's son, sent to complete a mission. And he completed the plan. The Son of God, right, is a person, which is for the importing of God's life into us. The faith by which we live, the gospel that which is preached, is the faith, is what transforms our lives. We must spend more time reading God's message so that we may understand our position. And lastly, I will say, this is going to be a continuation for this evening. So the love that God displayed, the Son of God loved us and purposely gave his life for us. Purposely gave his life for us, that he may or might impart the divine life into us so that we may be able to express the Christian life. There's no other life on this earth that is greater than the Christian life. And I will continue this series this evening.